I just, well, I wasn't a great father. I didn't live in Baltimore. I was divorced from his wife when he was like 3 years old. I mean, I communicate with him all the time, and whenever I came to Baltimore, you know, I always visited or did whatever I had to do. But I just felt so bad that I guess I wasn't a great father. I mean, I wasn't around for him. I mean, his mother brought him up, and she did a tremendous job, and now she's laying beside him at the cemetery. So it's been rough. It's rough.
His mother passed has since passed away, right?
Yeah, she died of cancer about 3-4 years ago.
What are your thoughts 20 years later that this happened? And you were also mentioning to me that you made a call to the Western District, where your son was based at the Western District. You made a call early this morning. Tell me a little bit about that call, and what did you tell the officers?
I wanted a message to be given at roll call this morning that if they get a domestic call, and if it's alcohol or drug related, wait for your backup. I think my son would still be here today. We wouldn't be having this interview if he would have waited for his backup. He didn't wait for his backup. His backup got there, you know, a half a minute after this all happened. So my whole thing was, be safe and make sure you wait for your backup, because you don't know what to expect. That was the message that I tried to give to them. Plus, I wanted to give them a personal invitation to come to the memorial service on Sunday.
What do you want people to know about your son?
He was a good kid. He liked people. I mean, I never heard anybody say anything bad about Ira. And I really miss him. I didn't start to get close to him, really close, until about 6 months before he got killed. And he called me up. I was living in Arizona, and he said, "Dad, I want to ask you a question. I want you to give me an honest answer." I said, "Okay." He says, "I just got engaged." And he says, "But there's a problem." And I said to Ira, "What is the problem?" He says, "She's not Jewish." I said, "So? What does that have to do with it?" He says, "Well," I says, "No, there's no wells." I says, "Let me ask you a question, Ira. Is my wife Jewish?" He said, "No." I says, "I don't have to answer to anybody. You shouldn't have to answer to anybody. You're the one that has to be with her and nobody else." I says, You feel if you love her, you do what you got to do. And he says, "Would you do something for me?" I says, "What's that?" He says, "Would you come to Baltimore and meet her?" I says, "Okay." The next day, I flew to Baltimore, and I took them out to dinner that night to a Chinese restaurant. And I met her, and I says, and he said to me, "What do you think, Dad?" I says, "Ira, do what your heart tells you what to do. If you love the woman, and that's who you want to be with the rest of your life, then you get married, and you don't worry what your mother says or anybody says. You do what your heart tells you to do." That was the last time I really, really spoke to him.
Wow. Did he ever talk to you about his decision to become a police officer?
No, never. I was shocked when I heard that he was a policeman. When he was little, at that time I was living in Virginia, and I used to have him every weekend. He would come over, I'd go over, pick him up, and take him over to Virginia. And I used to teach him how to protect himself. And he would cry like a baby. I says, "Why are you crying?" "I can't hit you." I says, "Yes, you can." I says, "I want you to learn," because he was around women all the time, and I didn't want him to be babyfied. I wanted him, but he was a big kid. Ira was a big kid. He was always heavy. I mean, Ira probably weighed, when he got killed, probably 260, 270. So, I mean, this guy that killed him, he must have really caught him off guard. So, that's all I can tell you about that. But
You wanted him to be able to protect himself, and you wanted him to have a male influence, and that, I guess, is the father's job.
Exactly. See, we became disengaged when he was 18 years old. When he was 18 years old, he was graduating from high school. And at that time, I was living in Connecticut. And I came down to Baltimore for his graduation at the Civic Center. And I didn't see my mother there. I called up my mother. I said, "Ma," I said, "I came all the way down from Connecticut. Where are you at? I thought you were going to be here." Ira gave my ticket to one of his friends who needed a ticket. I said, "What?" And Ira used to call me collect every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had purchased for him for his graduation a gold initial ring that he always wanted. I was having it made. And I had promised that when I came down to Baltimore that I would take the whole family out for after graduation for a dinner, of which I did. And I went back to Connecticut, and I canceled the ring. And he kept calling me. I refused to answer the phone because I was so hurt that he did that to my mother.
His grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And he lived right across the street from my mother. And in all the years that he lived across the street from my mother, he never one time went to visit my mother. I have no idea why. My mother has no idea why. And that killed me. And that's when our relationship went south. And for years, we didn't talk. And one time I was coming to Baltimore, and I heard that he was doing off-duty police work at the Holiday Inn as a security
guard. Yeah.
And so I happened to be in Baltimore, and I says, "You know something? I'm going to take a ride over to the Holiday Inn to see my son." And I did. And that's when we started to kind of connect again.
How long was that before he died?
Not that long.
Not that long.
Within a year.
Mm. Mm.
So it was the last 6 months of his life was the closest we had ever been. Things were really starting to get connected. And, the rest is history.
I have to ask, how does it make you feel that people still remember your son 20 years after he was killed?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, when his commanding officer, when he was at Western District, was named Major Gregory. And Major Gregory was one of the nicest men I've ever met in my life. And we sat down one morning, and I said, "Major Gregory, would you do me a favor?" He says, "What's that, Mr. Wiener?" I says, "Every year, as long as I'm alive, every 5 years, I want Ira to be remembered." He says, "Not a problem." And he kept his word. Every 5 years, 5 years ago is when they took Mulberry Street, that block where he got murdered, and put up a sign saying, "Ira Wiener Way."
Yeah.
Of which I have here. I have at home. I have a whole memorial set up here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
When I was told about, when I was in Baltimore around, I guess about 8-9 months ago, whenever I was in Baltimore, I always stopped into the Western District. And I saw the major there, who I don't remember his name. And I says, "This year will be 20 years. And I says, I had an agreement with Major Gregory, who also has passed away since, about having some kind of a remembrance for my son." He says, "Not a problem. I will take care of it." It was a few months later is when I heard from Mr. Silver, and he said it had nothing to do with me and Major Gregory.
Sure.
And I says, "Look, whatever. Long as we're having something." So that's how it all came about. And I'm proud that, that people remember Ira. He was a good kid.